Well, good morning, dear ones. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. It is good to gather in the name of Yeshua on this beautiful day. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we come before your throne this morning with hearts overflowing with gratitude. You are the Ancient of Days, the one who was and is to come. We stand in awe of your majesty, your perfect wisdom, and your unfailing love. Thank you for being our strong tower, our refuge, our very present help in times of trouble. We praise you for your faithfulness that reaches to the heavens and your righteousness that is like the mighty mountains. Lord, we are grateful that you chose us before the foundation of the world, that you know us by name, and that you engraved us on the palms of your hands. Thank you for sending your son, Yeshua, who demonstrated the depths of your love by laying down his life for us. We thank you for the breath in our lungs this morning, for the ability to gather freely in your name, for the gift of fellowship with other believers. Thank you for providing our daily bread, for watching over our families, for giving us shelter, and for surrounding us with your protection. Father, we are grateful for your word that guides us, your spirit that teaches us, and your presence that never leaves us. Thank you for your mercy that is new every morning, and your grace that is sufficient for each day. As we begin our time of worship and study, we ask that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Let our hearts be good soil, ready to receive the seeds of your truth. May everything we do here today bring honor to your name and advance your kingdom. In the mighty name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we pray. Amen. Today, I'm going to touch on spiritual foundations and divine standards. And when I say touch on, I mean just a very small amount. I could teach for hours on this subject, but today I hope to just pique your interest and encourage you to dig deeper in your own personal Bible study. If the Lord leads, I will go deeper in the future, but today, let me just introduce you to the topic. Genesis 2:9 tells us, "The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the midst of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Dear ones, today we stand at the same crossroads that Adam and Hava faced in the Garden of Eden. Every day we make choices about which tree we will eat from. The tree of life, which represents complete dependence on and trust in Yahweh, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which represents our human attempt to determine right from wrong apart from God. You see, just because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has some good knowledge, it also has evil knowledge. And that is the wrong tree, because all good gifts come from the Father of lights above. So if we eat from the tree of life, we are trusting in Yahweh to give us the good things we need every day. Amen. Let us first understand what these trees represent in our daily walk. The tree of life represents complete submission to Yahweh's wisdom, living by faith rather than by sight, accepting God's standards without questioning or modifying them, walking in relationship with the Creator. Eternal life and spiritual nourishment come from the tree of life. The tree of knowledge represents human wisdom and reasoning, self-determination of right and wrong, pride in our own understanding, independence from God, and according to Genesis 2:17, death. Now consider this vital question. What happens when we build our standards on a faulty foundation. Psalm 11:3 asks, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we are eating from the wrong tree, then our foundations will be destroyed, and what we are building will crumble. Let me share some examples of faulty foundations that many believers unknowingly build upon. One, there's a cultural compromise. When we allow secular culture to influence our interpretation of Scripture, we're eating from the wrong tree. For instance, many today try to reshape biblical marriage to fit the current cultural and political climate. But Yahweh's standard remains unchanged. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. That's Genesis 2:24. Still valid for today. We have selective obedience. Some choose which commandments to follow based on personal convenience. This is like building a house on sand. Matthew 7:26 to 27. We cannot cherry pick which of Yahweh's standards to uphold. His word is complete and perfect. Psalms 19:7. So many today want to throw out the Old Testament and just live out of the New Testament. And while that may be enough to get saved, to know God and have a relationship with them, they want to discount Old Testament principles and the very verses that show us the character and ways of God. I've talked on this before many times about the law and being under the law or not under the law and what that means. So let me just go on. Emotional-based truth. When we let our feelings determine our theology, we're eating from the tree of knowledge. Knowledge of good and evil. Truth isn't subjective. It's absolute because Yahweh is absolute. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's in Hebrews 13:8. Tradition over truth. Many hold onto religious traditions without examining whether they align with Scripture. This is also a subject I've taught on multiple times in the past. Yeshua warned about this in Mark 7:13, saying they were making the word of God of no effect through their traditions. So what are Yahweh's true standards? Let's examine them. His standard of holiness. Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. It's in Leviticus 19:2. This is just Old Testament. This is for us today. This isn't just a suggestion, but a command. Holiness isn't about perfection, but about separation unto God. And it is still valid for us today. Be holy because he is holy. But about a standard of truth. John 17:17 declares, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Truth isn't relative. It's absolute because it's rooted in Yahweh's unchanging character. There's no truth for you and truth for me, or that's your truth and this is my truth. Truth is truth whether we believe it or not. And you know what? Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. There's a standard of love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12:30, 31. This love isn't based on emotions, but on commitment and action. And that's what Lots of Love Ministries is all about. That's our core beliefs and purpose, is to live out the scriptures of love. Amen? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. His standard of righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. This means pursuing God's way of doing things, not our own understanding. To build on the right foundation, we must return to Scripture as our primary authority. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, we must toss it out. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. Once again, if whatever you're believing, whatever you're basing your actions on, are those God's ways? Does it line up with Scripture? Someone is telling you to get a divorce and marry someone else. That doesn't exactly line up with Scripture. And again, back to the culture today of marriage. If someone's saying it's okay for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman, that does not line up with Scripture. But we must use Scripture as our primary authority. What does the Bible say? What's our standard? But we also need to submit to the Holy Spirit's guidance. John 16:13 tells us, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, I guarantee he's not going to guide you into homosexual marriage or divorcing your wife or your husband to marry someone else if there's no cause for it. Or he's not going to encourage you to break any of the other Ten Commandments or violate God's character or his ways in any way, shape, or form. The Holy Spirit will lift up the name of Yeshua and guide you to the truth in his ways, his character, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, all those, they're not against the law. There's no law against those. And that's how we should be operating. Test everything against God's word, against the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us, test all things, hold fast what is good. You heard the saying, when someone shares a message, you know, take it in, spit out the bones, you know, eat the chicken, spit out the bones. That's what, you know, I think that comes from this verse, that concept. Test all things, hold fast what is good. If it's not good, toss it out. Amen? Dear ones, the choice before us today is the same as it was in Eden. Will we trust in our own understanding, eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Or will we submit to Yahweh's wisdom, partaking of the tree of life? Remember, Proverbs 3:5 tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. When we build our lives on Yahweh's standards, we build on a foundation that cannot be shaken. He changes not. His character and ways are forever. This doesn't mean he doesn't change his mind or relent and show mercy. Throughout Scripture, we see a beautiful paradox. Yahweh's character remains unchanging while he demonstrates flexibility in his responses to human repentance and intercession. Here are key biblical examples. First, Moses, who interceded for Israel. We can read about it in Exodus 32:9-14. After the golden calf incident, Yahweh told Moses he would destroy Israel. Moses interceded, and verse 14 states, and the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. This shows how Yahweh's unchanging justice and mercy work together. He responds to genuine intercession while maintaining his righteous character. What about Nineveh? We read about that in Jonah 3:10-4:2. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. They repented. And the Ninevites' genuine repentance moved Yahweh to withhold judgment, demonstrating his consistent character trait of mercy when people truly repent. And that was the whole reason why Jonah did not even want to go there. He knew that God would do that. He knew that if he went and shared God's word with them, they would repent and God would relent. And you know what? He didn't like the Ninevites. He wanted them to be destroyed. He didn't want them to repent and get mercy. But he was trying not to go there. But God insisted, and he ended up going, and it happened just as he knew. And he complained about it. I knew this was going to happen. And he was sulking. He was not happy about it. But God is merciful when we truly repent. Amen. Then there's King Hezekiah. His life was extended. We can read 2 Kings 21 through 6. Yahweh told Hezekiah he would die. But after Hezekiah's passionate prayer, he added 15 years to the king's life. This shows Yahweh's willingness to adjust his declarations in response to sincere prayer while maintaining his faithful character. And then there's David's intercession during the plague. In 2 Samuel 24:10 through 16, we read about that after David's census sin, you know, he counted the people. He did a sin, and God told him not to count the people. He did it anyway. Yahweh offered three punishment options. When David chose 3 days of plague, Yahweh stopped the plague before the appointed time in response to mercy pleas, showing his compassionate nature within his justice. I think there was only 1 day of plague or something. I don't know. It killed like 20,000 people. I'll have to go back and read that one. It's been a while since I read that story. But I do know he relented, and David interceded for the people and said, don't punish the people, it was me. And so God relented. Thank God for his compassionate nature within his justice. Amen. Then Abraham's negotiation for Sodom, which we read about in Genesis 18:16-33. Yahweh engaged in a discussion with Abraham about sparing Sodom if righteous people were found. This shows his willingness to discuss his judgments while maintaining his righteous standard. He was willing to spare Sodom if just 10 righteous people were found. Unfortunately for Sodom, there weren't 10 righteous people. And then we read in Amos 7:1-6 about Amos's intercession. Twice Amos interceded for Israel when Yahweh showed him coming judgments. And twice Yahweh relented, saying, this shall not be. This demonstrates his responsiveness to prophetic intercession. We must be willing to intercede for our nation and for our neighbors and for our families. We must be intercessors. And if you are a prophet or prophetic intercession is critical for you. You must be interceding for others, because it's really not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. Then Moses' intercession at Kadesh, as we read about in Numbers 14:11-20. When Yahweh threatened to disinherit Israel after the negative spy report, Moses interceded, and Yahweh pardoned according to Moses' word while still maintaining consequences for their actions. And what about King Ahab's temporary reprieve? 1 Kings 21:27-29 tells us the story of when Ahab humbled himself after Elijah's prophecy of judgment. Yahweh postponed the disaster until his son's time, showing responsiveness once again to genuine humility. These examples reveal important truths about Yahweh's character. They reveal his unchanging attributes of perfect justice, boundless mercy, faithfulness to his covenant, responsiveness to genuine repentance, humility, and intercession, and that he is perfect in his wisdom. His consistent pattern is that he judges sin righteously, responds to genuine intercession, honors true repentance, maintains ultimate justice while showing mercy, always acting in alignment with his character. The balance of his nature shows us that justice and mercy coexist perfectly. Judgment and compassion work together. Sovereignty and responsiveness operate in harmony, and that his unchanging character is coupled with dynamic interaction. Understanding these examples helps us grasp that Yahweh's unchanging nature includes his consistent willingness to show mercy when people genuinely repent and when righteous intercession is made. This isn't a contradiction, but a beautiful demonstration of his perfect character. Always just, always merciful, always faithful to his word, while being responsive to his people. As Numbers 23:19 states, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? This verse, alongside the examples above, shows that Yahweh's changing his mind, quote unquote, is actually a consistent expression of his unchanging character. Always ready to show mercy while maintaining justice. Now let's talk about what our foundation should be and how we should be building on it. 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Dear ones, let's pause and consider profound truth in this verse. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, makes an absolute declaration that leaves no room for debate or alternative interpretations. There is one foundation, and that foundation is Yeshua, our Messiah. Think about foundations for a moment. In construction, the foundation determines everything about a building: its stability, its longevity, its ability to withstand storms. A beautiful house built on sand will not survive the first serious storm, when a simple structure built on solid rock stand firm through countless tempests. This spiritual truth carries even greater weight. Every person, every ministry, every doctrine, every teaching must be built upon the foundation of Yeshua, or it will ultimately fail. Let's examine what this means practically. Yeshua, as our foundation, means he is the source of all truth. And that's clearly stated in John 14:6. His word is our final authority. If he says it, then so be it. His character and commands define our standards. His sacrifice is our only means of salvation. His life is our pattern for living. His spirit is our guide and teacher. Many today are trying to build their lives on other foundations. They're trying to build on human wisdom and philosophy, cultural trends and popular opinion, religious traditions that have strayed from scripture, personal experiences and feelings, material success and worldly achievements. While some of these may be okay in context, beloved, these are all sinking sand. They shift with time, change with circumstances, and crumble under pressure. Only Yeshua remains constant, the same yesterday, today, and forever, as we read in Hebrews 13:8. When the storms of life come, and they will come, what matters is not the beauty of the structure we've built, but the foundation upon which we've built it. Yeshua himself taught this in Matthew 7:24-27, when he spoke of the wise man who built his house on the rock and the foolish man who built on sand. Consider these questions. Is Yeshua truly your foundation? Or have you been building on something else? Does every aspect of your life align with his word and character? When trials come, what do you rely on first? Human solutions or divine wisdom? Ouch. I know I've felt in that area sometimes. Go through a trial, and my first response is, what can I do to fix this? Rather than running straight to God and saying, what is going on here? What should we do? What is your instructions? Remember, we cannot simply add Yeshua to our existing foundation. Like I've heard, like in India, many people, they have many gods, and they receive Yeshua, but they just add him to all the other household gods they have. They're like, okay, Yeshua is just another god to them. No, he must be the foundation, the one and only true God. Everything else must be torn down and rebuilt upon him alone. And this might mean abandoning long-held beliefs that don't align with Scripture, letting go of practices that dishonor him, re-examining our priorities and values, surrendering our own understanding to his wisdom. Beautiful promise is this: when we build our lives on Yeshua, we are building on the eternal rock. The winds may blow, the floods may come, but our foundation will hold firm. As Isaiah 28:16 declares, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." Let us examine ourselves today. Are we truly building on the one true foundation? Or have we allowed other things to creep in and become our support? The invitation stands to return to the pure foundation of Yeshua, to build our lives upon him alone, and to experience the unshakable stability that comes only through him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. According to Proverbs 18:10. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the times we've chosen to eat from the wrong tree. Help us to recognize and abandon faulty foundations. Give us the courage to fully embrace your standards, to build our lives on your truth, and to walk in your ways. In Yeshua's name, amen. As I close, let me admonish you to choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as always, as you endeavor this week to examine your foundation and how you are building on it, lift up a standard of righteousness in your house. And may the Lord cause there to be shalom in your home.